Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the host of the show. Some of you who have been faithful listeners are probably wondering, is he ever going to do another show? It's taken me so long between these episodes, and I apologize for that. But life has been going on, and stuff happens, and you know how that goes. But I am very glad to be with you for this particular episode. Today is August the 18th, 2011, Thursday. I am leaving my house and my wife and family, heading out to meet Bert. It's about 4 miles away to run. He and I met 3 or 4 days ago and ran, and we're going to run again tonight. It's presently probably says it's 99 degrees inside of my vehicle, but I know that's the inside temperature, so that's not correct. But it is 20 minutes to 7, 19 to 7 now in the evening. It's probably 83, 84 degrees maybe. The windshield has raindrops on it, and it's fairly cloudy. Looks like there could be a passing rain cloud, but doesn't look very threatening. Now, when he and I ran 3 or 4 nights ago, it looked threatening the whole time, and we actually ran in some lightning, which I don't typically do. But, you know, you get together with another guy, and it's like, okay, who's got the ability to avoid danger and take the risk and run in a little bit of lightning, although it wasn't terrible, but there was enough of it that I typically would not run in it. I have not heard any thunder this time, and we did manage to escape the rain. We ran 5 miles and ended up, we were in downtown High Point, ended up in front of the High Point Theater, community theater. They have some steps that go down, 6 or 8 steps, and so we were well protected by the time it started raining. We had to seek shelter, and there's also a big covered area like a pavilion, which is where the North Carolina Marathon finishes. Incidentally, I may have told you this, but I don't believe I did. I want to update you on what's going to be happening with me a little bit later. Why don't I tell you about my race plans a little bit later? Right now, I just want to very quickly fill you in on what's happening with our life, our lives rather. My car of 11 years, I went down to pick up my mother near Wilmington. She came and spent the week a couple weeks ago. I let a lot of things go whenever she was here just so I could spend time with her. One of those things, of course, was recording and dealing with the podcast. But went and picked her up with my car, which is 11 years old, 180-mile trip one way, brought her back. Then my next to youngest brother met me about halfway and picked her up, came back home, and then drove to work for almost a week. Got to Thursday evening, got off of work, and left the office, and within 3 or 4 blocks of leaving the office after all of that driving, no breakdown, my car broke down. Well, I've got AAA, fortunately, and ended up calling them. They come picked it up. One of the cam sensors had been coming on, and it was making the check engine light come on, and I knew that was an issue, so I thought, you know, they kept turning the light off, and then it would eventually come back on, and it would go off and on by itself some. I thought, well, maybe it's related to that, because it would turn over. And got the car towed in, and they checked it, and basically he told me, Doug, who works on my cars, he says, I got some bad news. I said, what is it? He said, your timing belt is broken. Best case scenario, you're looking $1,200 to $1,400. Worst case, you're looking at replacing the engine. I don't know if I've ever told you what kind of car I drove, but it was a 2000 Daewoo Nubira. And I was already having some difficulty in finding parts. I had just bought three tires for it, had some front end work done on it, and it reached a point where this car is 11 years old. It didn't have that many miles on it, 133,000, but it's like I cannot afford to put that in a car that old that potentially is going to have other issues, and we're also going to have to find parts that are becoming more and more difficult. So, ended up selling it, got $225 for it. You pull it, come and picked it up, hauled it away, took a couple pictures of it. Cindy said I probably cried when they hauled it away, but it was at the shop. I did not cry, but I have to admit, when you have a car for 11 years, especially one sort of unique like that one was, that they don't make them anymore, and it was a good car, though, I must admit. Asians really know how to make cars, I have to say that. It was Korean made. But anyway, I didn't cry, but got rid of it. I knew I had to do something, so after looking online and on the internet, make a long story short, we ended up getting another new vehicle because that car was 11 years old. The other one I'm driving, the bigger car, the Grand Marquis, is 9 years old. I bought it used seven or eight years ago. Actually, it was a couple years old. So we ended up getting a Kia Soul. The color is Alien, which is a green, and got a super deal on it. I didn't want to have to buy a car, but I thought with the 10-year, 10,000-mile, 100,000-mile warranty, powertrain, and then bumper-to-bumper, 60,000 5-year, and they also have 5-year, 60,000 miles free towing. If you have to spend the night in a hotel and your car breaks down during that time, they'll pay for your hotel bill. It's like AAA, but only better, but I still need to keep AAA for the other car. But anyway, after all that being said, we decided to go ahead and we did get a Kia Soul. Called my sister and told her what we had done and the kind of car we got. And the first words out of her mouth were, "That has got to be one of the ugliest cars I've ever seen." I said, "Gee, thanks, Carol, but you're not going to be driving it." So, anyway, she asked me, did the hamsters come with it? That is my wife. Hold on a minute. Hello? Hey. Pardon me for that. That was Cindy, and I did felt like I needed to, obviously, if your wife or your husband calls you, your spouse, you need to answer the phone. So, but anyway, Carol asked me, did the hamsters come with it? The hamsters being the ones that were in the ad, and I forgot about that, but if my Daewoo was still running and I could have fixed it without a tremendous amount of money, I would still be driving it. My idea is keep a car as long as I possibly can, take care of it the best I know how, and when the wheels fall off or something similar like happened with this in this situation, then break down and get another one. But it's just one of those things. But I have not bought a car, as I said. It's been 7 or probably 8 years since we bought the other one. It was a couple years old when we got it. But okay, that's what's been happening with me. Work continues to improve. I did have the evaluation today. They do a 90-day evaluation, and then they do one every year. And the evaluation went very, very well. So I'm very, very pleased with that. And I think I know that I'm going to enjoy the chaplain ministry because it's becoming more and more a part of who I am. And it's very, very fulfilling. And I just thoroughly enjoy what I am doing. So with work, things have settled down, and that's going very well. We are getting now into downtown High Point, and there's sort of a haze, no heavy clouds, but looks like it could rain, but probably will not. And I am crossing Hayden, and now we're crossing Main Street. We're going to turn on Wren, and we will be parking beside the showplace where the NC Marathon starts on one corner of it and finishes on the other. So, and Bert emailed me, or excuse me, texted me a while ago. Actually, he was going to be a couple of minutes early, sounded like, and he said in the text, "Are you ready to roll?" So I'm ready to roll. I'm going to see if I can record a little bit with him. And we, of course, will include some music in this episode. And I also will, toward the end at least, will plan to share some emails that I received recently. And I want to respond to those. But again, thanks for listening to this episode of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. We will be back. Just crossed 2 miles. That was a 10:38, basically according to my watch. So how far do you want to? You want to turn around?
Well, you want to take a left? And get back down toward the hospital.
Okay, that's fine. You want
to? We don't want to go that. So let's
now you do.
Actually, back to the car is less than 2 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I tell you what's cool. This intersection right here. Uh-huh. You come right through here and you do cross toward the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now for the half, I'm not sure, but for the marathon, you do go across right there. And what was really cool was during the marathon where East Chester crosses Johnson,
uh-huh.
Seventh Day Adventist Church. You know, you're sort of thinning it out. I'm gonna turn left up here.
I say, let's go. You wanna go straight across and turn down Rotor?
Yeah, that'll be better because you won't have all that traffic.
Okay.
But by then you're thinning out pretty good, and I remember getting to that point, and I was by myself, and the cops stopped traffic so I could run through the intersection.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty neat. Okay, you gotta be very careful. Alrighty. They are letting us by.
I probably should kill a couple of minutes.
Do what?
I probably should let that one go, but.
Oh well. Yeah, the light was still green, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a light. But I've come to find it. Running in some places. Traffic laws don't really apply.
Well, that's true. And I've, you know, I try to be careful, but I've done some pretty stupid things. Like thinking, oh yeah, I can just beat that car.
Well, that's the only place that I worry.
Right.
Is crossing Main Street.
Which we just did.
Which we just did.
As I was I recorded a little bit on the way out of here, and I was talking about my plans had changed. I think the last podcast I put out, we were talking about the marathon and perhaps you doing the half or whatever, but that has changed, and I wanted to just update everybody on that. Why don't you, what are you planning to do?
I'm going to do the half, the 13.1. That's my goal.
Okay.
Is to finish it in a decent time.
What would be a decent time? I think if you cross without falling over.
Yeah,
that's a decent time,
yeah.
Seriously.
As long as I get it done by dark, I think I'll be happy.
Let's see, we've got an 8 o'clock start. It's third week in November. Probably doesn't get dark till 5:30 maybe.
If I can average 10:50 a mile,
I'm going to get
happy
up on the sidewalk. 10:50, really?
Under 11 minutes a mile, I'll be happy.
I think even for the first one, that's very doable.
Which is still a long way to November, so it's hard to make a definitive goal right now.
How long would that be? Let's see. 11 minutes would be, 10 would be 141 minutes.
Yeah.
So, let's see, 180 is, what is that, 3 hours?
Yeah.
So you're talking 2 hours and, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that. That's a great time. That's a great, I mean, but really, I think, Bert, if you just finish it.
I'll be happy.
Yeah. You'll be happy, and there's always going to be another one.
Yep. That's the way I look at it is, if I do a little bit slower time on my first one, I'll be even happier on my second one.
Oh, yeah. And you will. You will.
You know, this is a lot easier to run at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I haven't been running as much in the morning, but...
6 o'clock in the morning, there's literally no one on the street.
Now, I tell you what we can do. I don't know if you want to. Instead of going all the way up Rotary, we can turn left right here. I mean, I've run through here lots of times. I don't know if you want to do that or not.
Sure. Sounds good.
The traffic will not be as bad, and it's right pretty.
Okay.
Well, I think, for me...
Yeah, what's your goal for?
That race?
Yeah.
Just to run it with you and finish it. Matter of fact, I didn't tell you this, but a couple of my buddies on the Daily Mile, we'll turn left right here. I had told them, you know, we were running, and I said, and I'm debating over whether to really train, you know, trying to run the best I can, and you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Or just making sure that we get you through it and you feel comfortable so you'll have your first one. And
I like that plan better.
Well, I had 4 different people to respond, and they all said, you just need to lighten up and run it with Bert and
don't worry about it.
Be good with it. And I don't mean that to reflect on your time, actually. But I'm saying your first race.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying.
Well, you know, one thing to keep in mind, though, you being there with me, well, that alone will increase my time.
Right, if we don't spend the whole time talking.
Or decrease my time. Well, we have to make a pact that we're not going to talk unless absolutely necessary.
Right. Yeah,
that's true. Some hand signs. What's the one for 911?
I don't know.
I may need to learn that.
But I do know also that belching and farting are gratis.
Well, your listeners might also want to know that. My wife is a paramedic.
That's true.
So, she'll actually be there on race day.
That's true. So, she'll pick us up if need be.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I'm going to do with that. And there is another half of all places in Thomasville the end of October. But I'm not going to run it. But I think I'll do the 5K. They've just started this race, and I'll put a link to that on the blog just so people that are interested, they can see what it's about. But I may try to do a little bit of speed work leading up to that, which will help us during the half too. But and then, instead of running the marathon, of course, here in High Point, we'll both be running the half, and then there's another one in Wrightsville Beach, which is on the coast, of course. North Carolina, that is, I think it's the third Sunday of March. They have a half and a full, and I am planning, Lord willing, to be ready to run the marathon again, and I think on a flat course like that, weather shouldn't be too hot. So, anyway, that's my plan. So we'll see how it goes, and I think you said something. If you survive this and find that you actually enjoyed it,
yeah,
you might go down and
go down
do another half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. How are you doing?
Doing great.
We're running comfortably, I think.
Yeah, about 10-20.
This reminds me of years ago when my brother Sammy and Ronnie Judge. It was Sammy's age, Sammy's 63. Ronnie was Sammy's age, and Ronnie held the record at
I don't know if it was all conference or whatever for the mile, but Ronnie was 14 years older than me, and he and Sammy and I used to go to Wilmington, and I remember going to Jacksonville, Goldsboro, down in the eastern part of the state. We'd race a lot, and Ronnie, even though he was 14 or 15 years older than me, he always beat me. Well, I ran into him in Wallace a while back. He quit running and took up golfing. But first words out of his mouth, he said, "Roland, do you remember me?" And I said, "Ronnie Judge, I know you." And he said, next thing he said was, "Are you still running?" I said, "Yeah." But anyway, getting out with somebody like this is, it's a treat for me in the sense that, as I talked about many episodes ago, what I love about running, the camaraderie, and I mentioned that I had nobody to run with. Not that you want to go every time, but this is reminding me of that, and you can actually do a little more if you got somebody pulling you a little bit.
Yeah, because you don't want it to end.
Or pushing you a little bit. But then you get into the question of, okay, do I want to run slow for this person, or can I hang with this person, or, you know, so you got to agree on that. And that's the way I'm looking at the half. We'll just run it. Honestly, you can set the pace, but if you think you want to do, let's say 10:50 or even 11 flat, we will do our best to hold it at least until toward the end.
If I ran it tomorrow, that's what it would be.
Okay.
We'll know a little sooner, you know, to the race.
Right.
I would assume a month out, we'll probably know for sure what I can, you know, legitimately do.
Well, I'd say, Bert, beginning in September, let's see, the race is in November, third week. I'd say by the middle of September, you really need to have the probably 6 miles, seven under your belt, where you, at least you're comfortable covering that distance. You won't have a bit of problem from there, as we talk about. Incidentally, Bert took a picture of us in downtown High Point, and assuming it's any good because he's sort of a crappy photographer. No, I'm kidding. I've actually pushed your business. I know that with my thousands and thousands of listeners, you've been getting calls.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard about you on the 20-minute runner.
Yep, you can ride.
Is it BurtReedPhotography.com?
No, it's BurtReed.com.
BurtReed.com. Anyway, he took a picture, and we'll put that up in the blog under the show notes for this episode. All right, I'm going to eat that gel you gave me, and we'll finish this one up.
Okay.
You good to go?
I'm good to go.
She feels it in her bones. She's got loose directions when she calls me on the phone. She says, every time you leave, I can't take the blues alone. She's got misinformation when she tells me I'm her own. We'll be right back. trying not to get it. I need it for my love, she says.
Want to close the show with some emails that I've received recently, and appreciate all the response that the show gets. And again, I apologize for not having an episode out in quite a while, but life has just been really, really busy, as I've talked about. But Bert and I just finished our run. We ended up only going, I think it was 4 1/4, something like that. Took our time, and really enjoyed that. He and I, I'd love to get together once a week, or maybe, well, a couple times a month anyhow, and we'll see how that goes. But before I play the audio for the emails, just let me remind you, if you enjoy the show, if you could go to iTunes and give me some stars, maybe a review, subscribe to the podcast there. Or you can subscribe with your favorite podcatcher or feed reader at the blog. And the blog is the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. You can also email me at 20minuterunner@gmail.com. 20minuterunner@gmail.com. Send me your race reports. Send me any photographs. Send me questions. Send me observations, send me things you've noticed about the show that you like, things you don't like, what's going on with your life, with your running particularly. I'd love to hear from you, and would love to share that at the blog, your photo, your story, whatever, and we also will include any of that in the show itself, as it is appropriate, the audio. You can also send me an MP3 or a WAV file. And I'll be glad to include that. May have to edit it for length or whatever, but I'll be glad to include that as well. If, for instance, if you want to send some audio of a race report, that would be great. I'd love to do that. So, check me out at the blog. Subscribe to the podcast if you don't already do so. And be sure and tell all your running buddies that you listen to the 20-Minute Runner podcast. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. I think we'll close the show out with the email segment, and we will be back, Lord willing, in within another couple of weeks at the latest, and we'll look to talk to you then. Before I go, though, I do want to tell you this. Do me a favor. Listen, do this for me. Go to, if you're not already a member of it, go to the Daily Mile, sign up, request to be my friend. And I certainly will accept that, and I'll be your friend. And I would love for you to look up Bert Reed on the Daily Mile. And I'd love to bombard him with several requests to be his friend and just tell him, hey, Bert, I heard you on the podcast, and I want to be your friend. I think that would be so funny if that were to happen. So look up Bert Reed on the Daily Mile, because he is there. And if you would, see if you can make him your friend as well, and I know he'll accept that request. But be sure you heard him on the podcast, and that would be great. I am on Twitter, and I'm also on Facebook, but I would say our Daily Mile is probably the best place where we really, or the Daily Mile is where I really connect with you the most. It's a great community, a great website. Check it out. Okay, let's get on with the emails and we'll close it out from there. Again, we'll be back, Lord willing. I hope to get back on schedule now in a couple of weeks. And until then, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. See you later.
I do have some email that I want to share. And the first one is from Tim. And Tim is actually from British Columbia. And so I just want to share an email I got from Tim recently. It says, "Hi, Roland. I hope this finds you doing very well. I heard your interview on the Running Coach podcast yesterday while out for my run. When you mentioned the changes in your ministry, you captured my attention, and I went back to where we were staying on vacation in Vancouver, B.C., and downloaded a few more of your podcasts. I listened to the one where you were talking about your resignation and transition this morning. It was an encouragement to me. I've been in ministry, I believe that would be Assemblies of God, for 28 years. I left congregational ministry 6 years ago. I smiled when you said you were feeling the need to do something different. I launched a chaplaincy ministry to politicians in 2006. I remain the only legislative chaplain in Canada. I've been running since January. I haven't run in years, but started because of a weight loss competition. I'm down 20 pounds and have gone from run walking a mile on a treadmill to prepping for a half marathon in October. I never dreamed I would enjoy it as much as I do. I'm still not at the place where I could run and record like you do, but perhaps one day. Thanks again for the podcasts. I'll be a regular listener. Tim," who is president of Leading Influence Ministries. And Tim, you do put your website there, so I'm going to share that now with the listeners, and I will also put it at the blog. It's www.leadinginfluence.com, leadinginfluence.com, and another website, www.praybc.com, praybc.com. And Tim, obviously your last name will be included on the website, so I will give it here. Tim Schindel, S-C-H-I-N-D-E-L. He's the president of Leading Influence Ministries in Victoria, British Columbia. And the tagline there is serving leaders. So, Tim, I am so glad to know that you are out there doing what you do, and it certainly is encouraging to know that there are others who feel a call to change their career, as it were. And for those of us who have been called to ministry as a full-time career, you likewise encourage me by knowing that, yes, you can step out of one role into another, particularly chaplaincy-based ministry, and find that to be very fulfilling and also to really make a difference in people's lives. And that has become the case with me. After a few weeks of really getting adjusted, maybe several weeks actually, I must say that I am thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing. And I just feel very, very good about that. So, Tim, I will put the information to your website, a couple of sites there you mentioned, in the blog. And I would encourage all of you listening, check Tim out and see what it is he's doing. And I'm sure that there are ways that you might be able to connect with him. But Tim is another listener. Tim, I'd love to have a picture of you running or walking or whatever. It doesn't have to be running necessarily, but I'd love to have a picture of you. If you could send that to me, I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. But thank you so much for that email. And then I have another one from the UK, and this actually goes back quite a ways. And Ian, I apologize. I believe you first contacted me the middle of July. And I kept telling you that, Ian, as soon as I get an episode out, it'll be next week. It'll be next week. It'll be next week. And it never comes. And that I would address some of the issues you raise. And so I want to share this email from Ian in England. "Trust you and yours are well. Hey, Roland, trust you and yours are well. I came across your website today as I recently returned to running in a bid to work on my fitness and lower my blood pressure. I had run the London Marathon in 1998, but 3 years of training and almost constant injury made it a long and arduous path to finally making that life list run. I've not been back at it since, as I am, quote, not a runner, unquote, finding it hard work and fraught with pain. However, with a high blood pressure wake-up call, now controlled by meds and showing good signs of lowering due to the return to running, I found myself with back problems and getting depressed over the return of a tweaking hamstring at the right knee. With the focus on a local flat marathon in April 2012, not London, I don't need for my return to running to be shot by a reemergence of the injury cycle. My web search was trying to find a visualization technique to aid my body when in injury downtime to continue running in my mind, as I know there had been studies in the U.S. on these visualization techniques to maintain training without impact. And thereby I came to your blogs and was intrigued by my first encounter with Qi running. That led to a bit of wider research on Danny Dreyer's various resources, and between you both, I am convinced this method would be a good one for me to try, as I have always been a plodder when it came to running, and it was that impact that was doing the damage. I have a fairly forward lean stance due to upper limb disabilities, which see most people in a similar situation, whether congenital like me or amputees, lean forward when they run. It is just getting that lean under control and working on not letting the foot fall be forward of my center of gravity. That is the most enlightening revelation in all of this, as it immediately eliminates the impacting that is causing me so much trouble. The one pressing question I have in all of this, and I have many questions, is do you use specific Qi running shoes or do you use a standard running shoe? Many thanks for your encouraging blogs and podcasts, and thanks for your time and consideration of this email contact. I'll let you know how I get on in due course. Best wishes, kindest regards, and rich blessings. Ian in England. And then I heard back from Ian about 3 weeks later. He says, I started running again early yesterday morning. This was dated August the 8th, as a test run after back problems, not running related, which had me out of the game for 3 weeks. This was my first chance at trying Qi running in earnest. My usual loop around the small town park at the bottom of the hill I live on usually takes 11 minutes 31 seconds to 11 minutes 51 seconds to accomplish nonstop. Keeping to caution and just going out on a test run to make sure my back was okay, I managed an 11-minute, 55-second loop with a 2-minute walk in the middle. Wow, that's great. That means had I eased back from the outset and kept it going, I could have taken at least a minute off my foot plotter style. I put this time down to the effortlessness of the style in combination with not reining in my enthusiasm. And let me just pause here, Ian, and for all of you listeners, Ian basically is proving what I have found to be true in my own experience with Qi running and what I hope to be finding true even more so when I run the marathon in March. Ian said there that because of his style, because of this change, that the effortlessness of it, and it is almost effortless, not completely, but it does feel much less more of an effort, which it is. That has resulted in him being able to move faster. And I can certainly identify and I confirm that, Ian. He continues, I was pooped after that loop, confirming the too hot pace, but walked for another 5 minutes before making a two-stage run up the hill I live on, along the flat at the top and back home without anything going foom. It was enough of a taster to think this style may work for me. Oddly enough, it seems, due to my disability, that I run in a midfoot, forward-leaning style already, but not strong at the core, meaning I lean over from the waist, not loose ankles. And then Ian goes on and continues with some other information. He did say that he's been training with one of the few certified Qi running instructors in the UK, in London. It was a one-day small group focus session. He's going to do that in September, looking forward to it. Roland, thanks again for being there, and we'll keep you posted on developments. Rich blessings, my friend, Ian in England. Ian, rich blessings on you. And you mentioned in the email there earlier, of course, about your struggles, some type of disability. And listen, you are an encouragement to those people who think that I can't run because of perhaps limitations that I have. Ian, you keep hanging in there, buddy. And I do want to hear back from you how things progress, and we will look forward to sharing that with our listeners as well. But that was from Ian in England. Now, getting back to his question, he asked about the shoes. He asked me, did I run in specific shoes for chi, or did I simply run in regular shoes, that type of thing. Ian, I have found through chi running that I can run in shoes that are less, what's the right phrase, they don't have all the bells and whistles. I still think that a decent cushioned shoe is a good idea, but I don't need motion control. I don't need, you know, exceptional cushioning in the heel, because with the chi running method, and you've touched on this, you're running midfoot, you're not turning over your foot like you would be in a more traditional type of running, but this more natural form with chi running, you do run more flat-footed. And that being the case, for me, I'll tell you what I run in. And, you know, of course, it may or may not work for you, but just to let you know that they're basically cushion trainers. I have a pair of New Balance 768s, which are almost completely depleted. They've got like 480 miles. I'm getting ready to retire those at 500. I've also got a pair of 769s that I've got about 200 and some, I have 200 and some miles on. I've got another pair waiting in the wing when the 769s retire, so I'll be running in two pairs of 769s after the 768 retires. So Ian, I've got a 768, a 769, and when the 768 retires, I'll be running in two pair of 769s, rotating those. I also run in Pro Guide 3 Sauconys, which I enjoy a lot. And then the fourth pair that I'm using right now are the Nike Pegasus shoes. And I think if you'll do research on any of those, they generally speaking are cushion trainers with very mild stability, if any. Now, with chi running, supposedly, you know, over time, you don't want to do this all of a sudden. You want to get adjusted to it. But supposedly, you can wear shoes that are not as cushioned because of the natural flat-footed, you know, midfoot type of landing. For me, I have not reached that point, and what I'm using is working, and so I will continue with that. So, to answer your question, yes, I use standard, basic, cushioned trainer, name brand, decent shoe, but not with a lot of bells and whistles. I do not use shoes designed specifically for chi or minimalist running, although a lot of people do, and as they've worked into that over time, they have found that beneficial. So, Ian, thanks for the emails, thanks for the question, and I just wanted to respond to that, and again, I do look forward to hearing from you on how things progress for you in the days ahead.